from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listeners, welcome to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Here is our program summary for today. We will bring you first our news, followed by My Indonesia, Today in History, Highlight of the Week, and News in Brief. We will continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We will conclude our program for today with Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo gives bonus to 2018 Asian Para Games athletes. Target of Indonesian medals at the 2018 Asian Para Games exceeds. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo or Jokowi hands over bonuses for Indonesian athletes in the 2018 Asian Para Games medal at the Presidential Palace in Bogor, West Java, Saturday, October 13 afternoon. The awarding of the bonuses was carried out symbolically to three athletes, namely Handi Wirawan from the chess sports branch representing gold medalists, Aris from swimming representing the silver medalist, and Sriyanti from lawn bowl representing bronze medalist. Jokowi, in his remarks, appreciated the athletes who have worked hard in preparing themselves and competing in the 2018 Asian Para Games. Jokowi symbolically handed over the bonus in the form of passbooks and ATMs to four athletes attending the event. The amount of bonuses given are the same as those given to the Asian Games athletes. The gold medalists get a bonus of 1.5 billion rupiah and opportunities to become civil servants or work in state-owned enterprises. Meanwhile, the silver medalists get a bonus worth 500 million rupiah, while the bronze medalists received 250 million rupiah. The athletes who did not win medals and the coaches are also given bonus worth 20 million rupiah respectively. According to the president, the state will not suffer from material losses for giving bonuses because the athletes have raised the name of the dignity of Indonesia in Asia. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla, in his remarks at the closing ceremony of the Asian Para Games 2018 at the Madya Stadium, Bung Karno Stadium, Jakarta, on Saturday, October 13, 2018, expressed his apologies to the President of Indonesia, Joko Widodo, for the missed target that the President has given to the Indonesian contingent at the 2018 Asian Para Games. President Joko Widodo earlier set a target of 16 gold medals for the Indonesian contingent. However, the medal missed or exceeded the target of 37 golds, 47 silver, and 51 bronze, or a total of 135 medals.
Kepada Bapak Presiden, kami ucapkan terima kasih atas dan permohonan maaf.
We want to apologize to the President. I apologize that the target that you have set to the Indonesian contingent has missed, but we missed to above. Indonesian athletes won 135 medals, which consisted of 37 golds, 47 silver, and 51 bronze, and brought Indonesia to the fifth place. The achievement is more than that of the two previous Asian Para Games. On the same occasion, Vice President Yusuf Kalla also expressed his appreciation to all supporters of the 2018 Asian Paragames held from October 6 until 13, 2018, including the Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Puan Maharani, and the Indonesian Minister of Youth and Sports, Imam Nahrawi, who directly participated in preparing and overseeing the 2018 Asian Paragames. On behalf of the Government of Indonesia, Vice President Yusuf Kalla also congratulated and thanked all the officials of the 2018 Asian Paragames Organizing Committee, or INAPGOC, led by Raja Sabta Oktohari, who has worked hard with full dedication and sincerity to prepare for the Asian Paragames 2018. In addition, the Vice President also thanked the sponsors, 8,000 volunteers, journalists, spectators, and security officials who have enlivened the 2018 Asian Paragames. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla revealed the 2018 Asian Paragames, which was held in Jakarta from October 6 to 13, 2018, was more than the sports events between Asian countries. Yusuf Kalla considered the 2018 Asian Paragames has given a spirit of equality in humanity. Before thousands of spectators of the closing ceremony of the 2018 Asian Paragames at the Madya Stadium, Gelora Bung Karno, Jakarta, on Saturday, October 13, 2018, Yusuf Kalla said the 2018 Asian Paragames was an important momentum or part of the history of Asian nations, especially Indonesia.
Indonesia 2014 Indonesian Paragames.
The 2018 Asian Paragames is more than a sports event, more than competition, more than winning medals for the country. But the event is to win the spirit of equality and humanity that embraces diversity, destroying stigma and prejudice. This is an important momentum for the history of Asian nations for the successful 2018 Asian Paragames. Furthermore, Yusuf Kalla also mentioned that athletes who competed in this event had shown various excellences despite their shortcomings. He thanked the participating athletes because all this week they have shown that people with disabilities are far stronger, better, and more capable than the world thinks. According to Yusuf Kalla, this hard work and extraordinary achievements have undermined obstacles and changed perceptions of people with disabilities. The Asian Paragames 2018 closing ceremony began with a countdown, then continued with the action of the little polices. After that, a moment of silence was carried out to mourn the quake and tsunami victims in Lombok, Western Nusa Tenggara Province, Palu and Donggala in Central Sulawesi. Besides Indonesian Vice President, there were also the Chairman of the Indonesian Asian Paragames Organizing Committee, or INAPGOC, Raja Sabta Oktohari, Jakarta Governor Anies Baswedan, and President of the Asian Paralympic Committee, Majid Rashid, attending the closing ceremony. Asian Paralympic Committee, or APC, President Majid Rashid was very impressed with the Asian Paragames 2018 in Jakarta on October 6 to 13, 2018. The 2018 Asian Paragames, which took place since October 6, 2018, officially ended after the closing ceremony held at the Madya Stadium, Bung Karno Stadium, Jakarta, Saturday night, October 14, 2018. Before the closing ceremony began, Rashid congratulated Indonesian Asian Paragames Organizing Committee, or INAPGOC, for its success in organizing the largest multi-sporting event for the disabled in Asia. According to Rashid, INAPGOC has worked very well and professionally. He also called the 2018 Asian Paragames much bigger and livelier than the two previous Asian Paragames.
INAPGOC, I think we need to congratulate them. We need to give them a big thanks. A short space of time, they showed very professional, very aware about what is the importance to host the 43 countries, the full house, the whole family of Asia, the biggest number of athletes, the biggest number of participants, the biggest number of media, the biggest number of spectators.
Majid also expressed his admiration for Inapgok for successfully holding the 2018 Asian Paragames in a fairly short time, which is 15 months without stopping, working day and night. Majid also commented on the achievements of the Indonesian contingent at the 2018 Asian Paragames. He said Indonesia was able to make use of the host status very well. From the target of 16 gold medals and finished in the top 7, Indonesia actually earned 37 golds and finished the 5th. And not only that, there are also many records created at the 2015 Asian Paragames, 18 of which are the world records. The Asian Paralympic community is very proud of the achievements this time. This news comes to you over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs is holding a Walk for Peace and Humanity, the Joint Walk to Independence for Palestine, held to continue supporting the struggle of the Palestinian people in their efforts to realize independence. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said in remarks at the event in Jakarta on Sunday that the action is to show that Palestinians will never be alone in their struggle for independence. She added that the Palestinian dream is the Indonesian dream too. Together with Palestinian Foreign Minister Riyad Al-Maliki, Chairman of the House's Commission 1 Abdul Haris Al-Mashhari, interfaith and community leaders, as well as more than 2,000 Indonesian people, the Indonesian Foreign Minister walked along 1.2 kilometers to the end of the Welcome Monument at the Hotel Indonesia roundabout. The joint walk is part of a series of events for the Indonesian Solidarity Week for Palestine, organized by the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs for October 13 to 17, 2018, and coincides with the visit of the Palestinian Foreign Minister to Indonesia. This activity is part of the continuation of Indonesia's commitment to Palestine and is aimed at increasing the understanding and care of the Indonesian people for the struggle of the Palestinian people. The global expansion remains strong. Growth is projected to be steady in the near term and to be moderate thereafter. However, the recovery is increasingly uneven and some of the previously identified risks have partially materialized. It was stated by Governor of the South African Reserve Bank, Lesetse Ganganyo, in a press conference after the International Monetary Fund Connect plenary session in Nusa Dua, Bali on Saturday, October the 13th. He said risks are increasingly skewed to the downside amidst heightening trade tension and ongoing geopolitical concerns with tighter financial conditions particularly affecting many emerging markets and developing countries. While Indonesian President Joko Widodo in his speech at the annual meeting of IMF World Bank Group on Friday, October the 12th, illustrated this condition as a Game of Thrones, which got a big applause from the audience. The president said that victory or defeat in a war always brought about the same result. Commenting on the presidential statement, Ganyago said the president's presentation has communicated complex issues in a very simple way.
I think that the presentation of the president was not just spectacular. It communicated very complex issues in a very simple manner using stories that people are familiar with. Whether you are talking about trade tensions or you are talking about global cooperation, the president communicated it in such simple terms, and I think that you could be proud to be led by a man like him.
Ganyago also said to address the issues, there is a need to step up dialogue and to enhance confidence in international trade, including on ways to improve the WTO to face current and future challenges. International Monetary Fund Connect IMFC will continue to work for a globally fair and modern international tax system and, where appropriate, address competition and tax challenges, including from digitalization. And the last item, risks are increasingly skewed to downside amid heightening trade tension and ongoing geopolitical concerns with tighter financial conditions, particularly affecting many emerging markets and developing countries. Therefore, fiscal policy should rebuild buffers where needed, be flexible and growth-friendly, avoid pro-cyclicality and raise the quality of infrastructure and workforce skills, while ensuring that public debt is on a sustainable path. It was stated by Lescha Ganyango, governor of the South African Reserve Bank, while announcing the communique of the 38th meeting of the International Monetary Fund Connect, IMFC, in Nusa Dua, Bali, on Saturday afternoon, October the 13th. He also said IMFC also recognizes the need to continue to step up dialogue and actions to mitigate risk and enhance confidence in international trade, including on ways to improve the WTO to face current and future challenges.
The communique also recognizes the need to continue to step up dialogue and actions to mitigate risks and enhance confidence in international trade. To support this, we will continue to work for a fair and modern international tax system, strengthen collaboration to leverage financial technology while addressing associated risks and tackle sources and channels of money laundering and other illicit finance.
Ganyago also said the International Monetary Fund Connect IMFC supports efforts towards achieving the 2030 Sustainable Development Goals SDGs. Therefore, they will work together to enhance debt transparency and sustainable financing practices by debtors and creditors, both public and private. Besides, IMFC will also continue to support countries' efforts to build resilience and deal with the macroeconomic consequences of pandemic, cyber risks, climate change and natural disaster, energy scarcity, conflicts, migration and refugee, and other humanitarian crises. And that was the news.
Highlight of the week presents Issues of the Week.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with this week's spotlight on the government prepares a disaster risk financing strategy. The Indonesian government is currently preparing a financing strategy and disaster risk insurance. The first phase, disaster risk financing for state property, especially for office buildings and education facilities, is implemented in the 2019 fiscal year. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani stated that this in a high-level dialogue on a disaster risk and insurance in Indonesia at the IMF World Bank 2018 annual meeting in Bali, opened by Vice President Yusuf Kalla on Wednesday, October the 10th. Sri Mulyani said that so far disaster funding had relied on the state budget. As a result, disaster losses borne by the government exceed the stipulated allocation. Compass Daily, quoting data from the National Disaster Management Plan, said Indonesia's losses due to the disaster amounting to 126.7 trillion rupiah in 2004 to 2013. The average direct economic loss value was in the form of building and non-construction damage, which was 22.85 trillion rupiah per year. The earthquake caused an economic loss of 7.56 trillion rupiah per year. The government has completed a financing strategy and disaster risk insurance roadmap for the short term from 2018 to 2019. Insurance for state property under the Ministry of Finance Management will be implemented in 2019. The strategy roadmap is continued with strengthening and developing agricultural and fishery insurance instruments, exploration of potential schemes alternative financing, as well as education and capacity building. The medium-term roadmap is implemented from 2019 to 2023. The government will bear the risk financing for disasters with a high frequency of occurrence, but the impact of small to moderate losses with the state budget source, retention of disaster reserve funds, and the allocation of routine expenditure to relevant ministries or institutions. While risk financing for disaster is rare, the impact of losses is quite high, with contingency loan instrument as complementary to the state budget. Contingency loans come from multilateral development banks such as the World Bank, Asian Development Bank, and partner countries.
World Bank President Jim Yong Kim appreciates the Indonesian government's move to formulate a disaster risk financing and insurance strategy. Insurance to mitigate the risk of damage to state assets due to the disaster was also discussed in the meeting of Vice President Yusuf Kalla with the World Bank's Chief Executive Officer Christina Georgieva during the World Bank IMF annual meeting on Wednesday. The World Bank stated that it was ready to assist Indonesia in the rehabilitation and reconstruction program of the affected areas. That was this week's Spotlight. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll begin with October the 14th, 1973, the Popular Thai Rebellion. The 1973 Popular Thai Rebellion, or the Popular October 14, 1973 Rebellion, was a turning point in Thai history. On that day, thousands of students gathered on Ratchadamnon Highway. This uprising resulted in the end of Thanom Kittikachorn's anti-communist military junta government and changed Thailand's political system. This revolt specifically highlighted the increasing influence of Thai university students in politics. Turning to October 14, 1994, Yasser Arafat won the Nobel Peace Prize. On October 14, 1994, the Nobel Committee awarded the Nobel Peace Prize to three important figures in the Middle East who are considered to have an important contribution to peace. They were Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat and two Israeli officials, namely Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin and Foreign Minister Shimon Peres, who have made the Oslo Accords agreement with the independent Palestinian government. I'll conclude Today in History with October 14, 2017, the Mogadishu bombing. On October 14, 2017, a massive explosion caused by a truck bombing in Mogadishu, Somalia's capital, killed at least 587 people and injured 316. The truck was detonated after being stopped. The target of the actual attack is believed to be a housing complex of international bodies and forces. Although no party claimed the responsibility for the explosion, authorities said that Al-Shabaab was responsible. The attack was the deadliest in Somalia's history, surpassing the 2011 Mogadishu bombing, which killed 100 people, and the deadliest in Africa even. This is also the fifth deadliest terrorist act in modern history. In response to the bombing, Somali President Mohamed Abdullah Mohamed declared 3 days of mourning. Well, that was Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Welcome back to My Indonesia. Today, My Indonesia will feature a topic on Asian Paragames 2018, a proof that Indonesia is capable of organizing prestigious international sporting events. So stay tuned. The 2018 Asian Paragames is over. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kala officially closed the 2018 Asian Paragames on Saturday, October 13, 2018, at the Senayan Media Stadium. Yusuf Kala said that this week was a vibrant week for Indonesia and Asia, a historic week that will always be remembered in the hearts of all Indonesians. He revealed that for a full week, Asia had given inspiration from the spirit of the athletes and their great efforts to break their own limitation and come out as winners. For Indonesia, said the Vice President, the 2018 Asian Paragames is not just a sporting event, it is just medal-scoring competitions for the country, but more than that, to win the spirit of equality in humanity by embracing diversity, destroying stigma and prejudice. The Vice President said the 2018 Asian Paragames is an important moment in the history of Asian nations. President of Asia Paralympic Committee APC, Majid Rashid, appreciated the organizing of the 2018 Asian Paragames in Indonesia, which produced a variety of records. Several records have been broken during the 2018 Asian Paragames, such as Laos, Kuwait, and Timor-Leste, which won the gold medal for the first time. Rashid also thanked the President of the Republic of Indonesia, Joko Widodo, for helping him meet the needs of the people with disabilities in Indonesia. According to Majid, the success achieved by Indonesia as the host of the 2018 Asian Paragames organizer was not separated from the participation of the Indonesian government and the people in general. Majid Rashid thanked President Joko Widodo for his assistance in meeting the needs of people with disabilities. He thanks to the government's efforts, the community. He believes the lives of more than 35 million people with disabilities in Indonesia will change after the Asian Paragames. Opportunities will be more open to them. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Puan Maharani, said that the 2018 Asian Paragames has proven that Indonesia was capable of organizing an international sporting event and made outstanding achievement in it. Puan also appreciated the Indonesian athletes who had fought in the games and even exceeding the medal targets set by the government. Indonesia is in the fifth position with 37 gold medals, 47 silver medals, and 51 bronze medals. Puan said the momentum in organizing the Asian Paragames was further affirming that Indonesia, as a large, diverse nation with its mutual cooperation, will always be able to show the world that Indonesia is a nation that has dignity, progress, and achievement. According to the coordinating minister, Indonesia should be proud of its success as the host of the 2018 Asian Paragames and then inspire all parties so that the 2018 Asian Paragames could be successfully implemented. And listener, that was My Indonesia for today. Thanks for listening. This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo or Jokowi hands over bonuses for Indonesian athletes in the 2018 Asian Paragames medal at the Presidential Palace in Bogor, West Java, Saturday, October 13. The awarding of the bonuses was carried out symbolically to three athletes, namely Handy Wirawan from the chess sports branch, representing the gold medalist, Aris from swimming representing the silver medalist, and Sriyanti from lawn bowl representing bronze medalist. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kala, in his remarks at the closing ceremony of the Asian Paragames 2018 at the Madya Stadium Bung Karno Stadium, Jakarta, Saturday, October 13, expressed his apologies to the President of Indonesia, Joko Widodo, for the missed target that the President has given to the Indonesian contingent at the 2018 Asian Paragames. President Joko Widodo earlier set a target of 16 gold medals for the Indonesian contingent. However, the medal missed or exceeded the target of 37 gold, 47 silver, and 51 bronze, or a total of 135 medals. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla revealed the 2018 Asian Para Games, which was held in Jakarta from October 6 to 13, 2018, was more than sports events between Asian countries. Yusuf Kalla considered the 2018 Asian Para Games has given a spirit of equality in humanity. Asian Paralympic Committee APC President Majid Rashid was very impressed with the Asian Para Games 2018 in Jakarta on October 6 to 13, 2018. The 2018 Asian Para Games, which took place since October 6, 2018, officially ended after the closing ceremony was held at the Madya Stadium, Bung Karno Stadium, Jakarta, Saturday night, October 14, 2018. The Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs is holding a Walk for Peace and Humanity, the Joint Walk to Independence for Palestine, held to continue supporting the struggle of Palestinian people in their efforts to realize independence. The global expansion remains strong. Growth is projected to be steady in the near term and to be moderate thereafter. However, the recovery is increasingly uneven and some of the previously identified risks have partially materialized. It was stated by Governor of the South African Reserve Bank, Lesetse Ganganyo, in a press conference after the International Monetary Fund Connect plenary session in Nusa Dua, Bali on October 13, 2018. And the last item, risks are increasingly skewed to downside amid heightening trade tension and ongoing geopolitical concerns with tighter financial conditions particularly affecting many emerging markets and developing countries. Therefore, fiscal policy should rebuild buffers where needed, be flexible and growth-friendly, avoid pro-cyclicality, and raise the quality of infrastructure and workforce skills while ensuring that public debt is on the sustainable path. It was stated by Lesetse Ganganyo, Governor of the South African Reserve Bank, while announcing the communique of the 38th meeting of the International Monetary Fund Connect IMFC in Nusa Dua, Bali on Saturday, October the 13th. And listener, that's News in Brief.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 3325 kHz. You can also listen through audio streaming at www.voinews.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder, a special program featuring Indonesian tourism. Today, I will take you on a trip to West Sumatra to sample the traditional kacimui. So stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In addition to shortwaves, you can also listen to this program through www.voinews.id. Besides being famous globally for its rendang, West Sumatra cuisine is also well known for its various pastries and cookies or snacks. One of them is kacimui. The name and form of this snack is indeed unique, because at a glance it is not very attractive, but once you taste it, you will feel different because it is really delicious. Kacimui is made from cassava and other ingredients such as a mixture of grated coconut and sugar. To make this traditional Minangkabau snack is not too difficult. First, peel the cassava and wash it clean, then grated it coarsely and steamed until cooked. What must be really considered is the maturity of cassava, because the special taste of kacimui lies in the texture of the maturity of the cassava. Once cooked, it is mixed with grated coconut and sugar. In this process, the cassava, coconut, and granulated sugar must be stirred well, after which they are formed with a mold. To enjoy this kacimui, there are two choices, namely with sprinkling of white sugar or palm sugar. The latter is a bit of a hassle, The grated coconut must be cooked first with melted palm sugar, then placed on top of cassava that has been cooked. From the taste point of view, kacimui has a unique blend of flavors. The savory cassava and grated coconut combined with the white sugar mixture on top will give a delicious taste. Besides that, the sensation of enjoying the kacimui texture when in the mouth makes enjoying this cake so much fun. Even though kacimui has begun to be difficult to find, in some traditional markets, especially in Bukit Tinggi, there are still those who sell it. This snack price is not expensive, only 5,000 rupiahs or less than half dollars. Among Minangkabau people, kacimui is considered food that can temporarily eliminate hunger. It is also often called healthy foods because the ingredients used contains various nutrients such as fiber, magnesium, vitamin C, and fatty acids. In addition, cassava and grated coconut are also useful for increasing energy. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder Today featuring kacimui, traditional snacks of Minangkabau. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia, Jakarta.
Thank you for still being with us at Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please send your email to voi@voinews.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miss Leni. This edition presents the topic about Ciletuh Geopark Festival 2018. Stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia at frequency of 3325 kHz or www.voinews.id. The Ciletuh Geopark Festival was held again. This was the fourth year of the activities that have become one of the agendas of the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism. It took place in Ciletuh, West Java on October the 13th and 14th, 2018, featuring various cultural performances, especially the typical Sundanese or West Java culture. In this festival, visitors were treated to a variety of traditional Sundanese cultures while enjoying the beauty of the Ciletuh Geopark. As many as 200 performers staged various cultural and regional arts attractions, including seni cepet, rengkak penyadap jipeng, gondang, tutunggulan, suligar, pencak silat, and wayang golek. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya said this event was a must to be visited by lovers of art and culture because the attractions displayed were very classy. In addition to culture, this festival also presents typical culinary of Pelabuhan Ratu and Sukabumi. Ciletuh Geopark, located in Sukabumi, West Java, is the oldest collection of giant rocks on the island of Java, which has a very prominent beauty. In this area, there are beaches, waterfalls, and beautiful hills. Ciletuh Geopark has the concept of harmonizing geological, biological, and cultural diversity through the principles of conservation, education, and sustainable development. This is the only geopark in the province of West Java, by the way. The location of the festival is centered on the three places, namely Kasepuhan Adat Sinaresmi, Cisolok Sub District, Palabuhan Ratu, and Panenjoan District, Ciemas District. The main stage was Panenjoan, Taman Jaya, Ciemas District. This location was the venue for the Ciletuh Geopark Festival opening on October the 13th, which was filled with a number of activities, including the presentation of a dummy certificate from UNESCO, the giant flag raising procession, breaking the world record of 5,000 Jipeng dancers, exhibitions, and musical performances. Head of Ciemas District, Lestoro Sadi, said the community participation in organizing this festival was prioritized so they know the development of geopark management. This year, the festival is still managed by the provincial government of West Java. But next year, the management of this annual cultural event will be handed over to the district government of Sukabumi. This activity is expected to increase the number of both local and foreign tourists visiting West Java, especially Sukabumi. Well, that was Miscellany Today on Ciletuh Geopark Festival 2018.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. We would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Andrzej Kuznikov in Latvia. He was listening to our broadcast in English program on September 3, 2018 at 1000 hours to 1024 hours UTC through 3325 kHz with SINPO 24322. He listened to our broadcast during his trip to Vietnam. Hello, Mr. Andrzej Kuznikov. Thank you very much for spending your time to monitor our broadcast. Even though our broadcast was very weak in Vietnam, your reception report still shows that our broadcast can be heard clearly. It was proven because your reception is very detailed. Therefore, special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Well, Mr. Andrzej Kuznikov, please keep listening to our broadcast and please do not forget to send your report.
Bila aku jatuh cinta, aku mendengar nyanyian seribu dewa-dewi cinta menggema dunia. jatuh cinta. Aku melihat matahari kan datang padaku dan memelukku dengan sayang. Bila aku jatuh cinta, aku melihat sang bulan
listener. Now we will reply an email from Thomas Bosch. He sent his email on September 27, 2018 through www.news.id. He said our broadcast signal was very bad. Hello, Mr. Thomas Bosch. Thank you for your attention on our broadcast. As information, our broadcast is transmitted on frequency 3325 kHz now. You can also monitor our broadcast through RRI Play application. Through mobile phone, our broadcast can be heard anytime and anywhere. Hopefully, you will be satisfied. So, please keep listening to our broadcast and keep sending your report. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song.
Kataku sebelum kau terbenam. lagu ini elus hati timang segala sedihmu sebagai suatu redam perih sebagai sampul diriku yang kau sayang.
Listener, you are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we will continue to reply an email from Deba Kamal Hazarika. He was listening to our broadcast in English program through frequency 3325 kHz on September 26, 2018 at 13:34 UTC. And the simple was 33333. In his email, he told that he likes a segment Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. His reasons that the program is the best. VOI had taught listeners some phrases and vocabulary related to the topic. The conversation example was excellent. Hello Mr. Deba Kamal Hazarika. Thank you for attention and appreciation on our broadcast. Hopefully, our segment Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia can improve your ability in Indonesian language. Someday, if you have a chance to visit Indonesia, you can practice your Indonesian. Well, Mr. Deba Kamal Hazarika, please keep listening to our broadcast and sending your reception report. For you, we will play a beautiful song. Listener, before we end our listener's mailbag, we want to reply an email from Salisu Muhammad Dawanau in Nigeria. We received his email on September 26, 2018. In his email, he said that he really enjoys our programs. According to Mr. Salisu Muhammad Dawanau, our broadcast brings the best of update news, the best entertainment, and the best educating information. He also said that he never regrets associating with VOI in area of quality programmings. Hello, Mr. Salisu Muhammad Dawanau. Thank you for your compliments on our broadcast. We always try to provide the best programs to our listeners. We hope you always listen to our broadcast every day and send your reception report. Thank you. Listener, wherever you are, we inform you that we have a new program on RNNet. This program is broadcast from Monday to Friday at 20:00 hours to 20:100 hours West Indonesian time, or 13:00 hours to 14:00 hours UTC. This program enables you not only listen but also watch our program, just like watching TV. And this is how to access VOI English News Service via RRI Play. First, download RRI Play mobile application from Google Play. Open RRI Play application and choose RRI Net. Then, choose RRI Net 720 pixel. Well, listener, actually we have received many emails, but unfortunately we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5 Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5 Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. voi@voinews.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and The Voice of Indonesia. Or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, I'm Putri Savitri Adela. Thank you for listening, and we will meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz.
You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.